You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 29 August. We had Japanese unemployment data out earlier this morning, 2.3% unemployment rate. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Audrey McGrenchu from Momentum. Results are pouring in. I want to touch on Rainbow, on Stadio, on Implats. Poor man, CEO of ASP Isotopes. Their inward JSE listing was Wednesday. The Renogen deal and future plans for the company. And then thoughts from me on the Trump impact on the Federal Reserve. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Interpol cracks down on illegal Bitcoin miners and cyber crooks across Africa. 25 Bitcoin mining centers operated by 16 Chinese nationals in Angola have been shut down. Business Day, Sibanye narrows losses, skips dividend in Neil Frondman's last dance. The company boasts a 19-fold increase in headline earnings in the first half. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.3%, NASDAQ up 0.6%. The East is mixed. We've got Sydney up 0.3%, Tokyo down 0.4%, and then both Hong Kong and Tencent up 0.7%. Commodities, all green. Gold futures, 3,471. Brent, 68.13. Platinum, 1,359. Palladium, 1,126. The Rand, 17.73. Bitcoin, 111,600. And top 40 opening call, red open, 45 points to the down. That is what, 0.05% negative.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Audrey McGrenchu from Momentum. Audrey, always appreciate the early morning time. Rainbow chickens, I mean, lots of base effect in the numbers, but I mean, a plus 200% increase in HEPS, never to be sniffed at. A difficult sector, perhaps, and certainly they highlight a lot of that. Your thoughts on the numbers and the opportunity here, and what is, if we take anything from Astral over the decades, a very, very volatile investment opportunity?
Yes, the numbers were very positive, as you rightfully said, and coming from a low base. However, let's also not just put aside the management's cost saving and lower inputs on that front. I think they did a very good job. Also, with the sales channels, they made that optimal. So that is definitely a good point on that front. The business is doing very well, also in terms of production as well. So they've just been shooting on all cylinders, and that gives them the good investment case, in my opinion.
There is a good investment case, and they're all looking good. They did point out risks. They talk around avian flu. They talk around tariffs. They talk around input costs, and so the list goes. That's not unique to Rainbow, and it's not even new. Well, the tariffs is new, but this is an industry that is going to be cyclical and will sometimes run into significant challenges. Avian flu, a key amongst them. It is a tricky sector.
I do agree on that. We did have a scare last year as well in the Americas. So, yes, it's always on the cards in terms of it coming back. And, yes, there are tariffs being one of them, some risks coming about. And that is definitely what is troubling them. However, it does also seem like chicken is the protein of choice right now with a potential increase in, inflation numbers and so on, and the cost of living. So, it is a tough, industry to be in, and as you said, very cyclical as well. And with things can change in a split second. But from these low bases, when looking at this right now, they did very well, especially with financial costs as well. I think after the unbundling, that also helps them as well.
Yeah, and Chris Schutter, who was previous as Astral CEO, he'd always say, I mean, chicken is bang for buck, the best source of protein. Stadio numbers out. We've now had all three education stocks. And looking at Stadio, they seem to be the best of breed of themselves, Advertech and Cura. Those were good numbers.
Oh, yeah, they indeed were good numbers. As you said, they didn't have the issues of the other Cura in terms of students enrollment. They did have an increase on that side, double-digit increase in revenue as well. It's looking very good. The books are well received, and they are on target for their plan to open a campus in Durbansville, which is, I think, is going to be great for the expansion. And I think for them in particular, as the best performer in this sector, is that they also the online learning is helping them on that front. And I think that's a great strategy, whereas the others are expanding into Africa and so on, which has a lot of initial input capital needed. So I think this is great on their front.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, Kira is a bit moot. I mean, the numbers were poor, but obviously the delisting was the biggest story there. The Advertech numbers, I mean, you mentioned they're moving into Africa. They're looking good. Is Stadia rather the standout here, or is there a place for a bit of both? Was it a case of Stadia is just the clear winner? And partly that's their business model, which is, you know, distance learning. They've got some contact, but a lot of it is distance, which of course is lower cost.
Yes, for me, I think it's the best of both. It's not wrong to have both on the cards. I mean, if you look at the opportunity in Africa to enter that market first, the first player movement, that is definitely going to work in your favor. If you're looking at that side of things, distance learning is also a good strategy. It's just a matter of then. I'm assuming also with that, you're also going to look at distance learning outside of the country when the time is right. So the strategies are good, but I think with Advertech, they also have the other arms of the business, which benefits them with which is like the recruitment arm, which is very good in Nigeria. So I do think there is a case for both to be in your portfolio.
Implats, this of course was year ending June. A tough period, and that toughness was more than anything was the price of PGMs. Although they did get their 60 ounces, revenue was up 3% for the period. Your thoughts? I mean, the numbers are managing what they can. Of course, the prices of PGMs are higher subsequent to the period end. How are you looking at the PGM sector at this point?
The PGM sector is quite an interesting one right now. We are seeing, especially with regards to the price of PGMs, starting to kick up to the upside again. And this is on the back of, the flight to gold and then stopping and going to gold, now going to PGMs as a safe haven investment. And with Impala in particular, I think with them, the issues are, despite the cash, it's also production. They did have a lot of things that stopped production in this financial year, for example, weather, and then also the casualty or fatality, having to stop production for a period. So quite a bit of production hindrances outside of just, the cost of platinums at this point. So and I think that for me is where they would have to focus. They can't change the outside factors like the currency, like the platinum price, where they can focus on which they also are looking at adding then the maintenance on the facilities is to fix those issues from occurring less regularly. Mm-hmm. And then they're also looking at then next year as well to upgrading their facilities, which I think is a good move on their front and for future purposes of the business. But again, with commodities, just as with livestock, it's very cyclical and anything can happen.
Yeah. And eight fatalities in seven incidences. That's not good. Quick last question. What would be your preferred in the PGM space?
Right now it is... Northern Platinum.
Northern.
Right. Yes, that's
okay. Right. Northern Platinum preferred there. We'll leave it there. That's Odwa Mgwenshu from Momentum. Appreciate the early time, Odwa. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter around PGMs. Do you hold PGM stocks for further upside? Odwa's liking Northern there. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Paul Mann, CEO of ASP Isotopes. Paul, good to chat again. You listed your inward listing on the JSE on Wednesday, of course, primary listing on the NASDAQ. A quick first two questions. As I understand, no capital raise. This was just the inward listing. And we chatted about this back in, about June, mid-year. And it is local share one for one with the NASDAQ share. So they should largely trade in sync as liquidity picks up.
Yes, that's correct. We don't really need any capital right now. We've got a very strong balance sheet, and so we didn't raise any money. But obviously, we are in the process of merging with Renergen, and so when that merger concludes, we expect about 15% of our float to be on the South African on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
You mentioned the capital. You've been doing capital raises. June was about 50 million, July about 60 million. And obviously, in your I'm going to say quasi startup, and we'll go into some more details around that. You're going to need capital at point, and seemingly you're finding it easy enough to raise capital as and when you're required from the market.
Look, we're in an interesting area of the marketplace. I mean, the world is desperate, or certainly. Countries like the United States and Europe are desperate for companies like ourselves to be sourcing critical materials for them. And, you know, there's geopolitical tensions of security of supply of critical materials has never been more important. And so, you know, there's a lot of interest from investors in what we're doing. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of good response from both customers as well as investors. And we've had two very large investors. One turned up in June and one turned up in July and said, look, we'd like to own a lot more of your equity than we currently do. Can we invest directly? So it was a pretty easy conversation.
Absolutely. Let's quickly touch on the Renergen deal. It is 0.09196 ASP isotope shares per Renergen. What's still outstanding there? A lot of the processes have gone through. The ideal timeline was September, end of September. Those sometimes slip. What's still outstanding on that deal?
No, I think we're still on track for that closing date.
Okay.
So we've had a competition committee. They've approved it. You know, we've had almost all the sign-offs now. We're just waiting, I think, for the XCOM. So we hope that comes through fairly soon. And then I think we're good to go.
Okay. We'll keep an eye. Obviously, final dates, etc., will come through on Sense as they are confirmed. Turning to your broader business, when we chatted, you're working in a couple of spaces, but I mean, to your earlier point, I mean, you know, clean power, which nuclear is hugely important. There's also other aspects of it. There's PET, there's medical, there's a lot happening. You had statements out earlier in the year around a commercial production of, for example, the Silicon 28 that you were working through. You'd hope to have some sales going through to the first customers in August. Has that proceeded? Have you managed to get sales and get commercial production happening?
Yeah, I can't give any financial forecast because we haven't given that. We did state last week that we shipped our first. This week we stated that we've shipped our first samples of enriched silicon to a customer in the US. So we're broadly on track. You know, sometimes things slip by a day or a week or two. I think our carbon 12 has been slipped by about 10 days. We had an environmental. We have annual environmental inspections and what have you, and that took a few days longer than it would normally take. So anyway, they're back up and running again. They probably lost 10 days during August, which was tedious, but they're going again fine now. And then I believe the ytterbium's in the final throes right now, so things are good.
Okay, and I imagine you're the pro at saying this. I was looking at that ytterbium and wondering how I pronounce it. I said up front that you're sort of quasi-startup. If we look bigger picture, and I say quasi-startup because you've got technology and you're bringing it to sort of proof of life in a sense, but you're not in the early stages. I mean, as you say, you're coming to final stages, you're shipping, can't give some details because of a regulatory environment, but you are sort of more maybe late-stage startup in that you have product and you have customers and some of it is going to market.
Well listen, as a company, we've only been going 4 years from when we started the company. I mean, it's almost 4 years actually to the day or to the month. So we're a really young company, but you've got to remember we acquired technologies and scientists and some assets that were essentially been going 20 years. So, you know, there's 20 years of research and development before we got our hands on them. So we're a startup, so I think quasi startup is a good phrase for us, actually. we had a good head start.
And it is an important point, and I want to quickly touch on the power angle. We understand the demand for power, and you know, it is AI, it is data centers, etc., etc. Renewable is certainly on the table, but nuclear is kind of been coming back. And I'm a child of the 80s, and I remember the protests against nuclear power. But it is our green power, and it is frankly the green baseload renewable energy that the planet needs for the future.
No, I totally agree. I mean, listen, I'm also a child of the 80s, so I remember the protests and what have you as well. But I mean, listen, the world needs more nuclear power. Well, the world needs more power in general. And nuclear, as you just mentioned, is likely or probably the greenest of all the options available. And so certainly for baseload power anyway. So, I mean, I think the world has woken up and realized that modern reactors are a lot safer and they're more reliable than the reactors of yesteryear. They're also a lot cheaper. The SMRs should be substantially cheaper on a levelized cost basis. And so you know, it likely is a large component of the power we need in the future. But I mean, the world just needs a lot more power, and they're going to struggle to find it. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Microsoft is reopening, taking the deal in the Three Mile Island, one of those. And I mean, we all think Three Mile Island, we think Fukushima, we think Chernobyl. But frankly, those are the three big nuclear disasters over, I don't know, the lifeline of it. We'll leave it there. Paul Mann, CEO, ASP Isotopes, appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Thoughts from me on Trump really wanting to control the Federal Reserve and have it do as he wishes, what he considers best for the market, the economy, and I suppose his presidency. He's not the only one. Liz Truss was on the Odd Lots podcast yesterday. She, of course, the shortest British PM of all time, and she's attacking central banks, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, claiming they prevented her from doing her job properly. To be clear, Turkey did this. To be clear, so did Zimbabwe. That is not a group of friends you necessarily want to find yourself in. But of course, if you think about it, a leader of a country wants to have as much complete control as possible. We've got some friction between our Treasury and the Central Bank at the moment. I mean, they went in, the July meeting and basically said that they would be anchoring inflation at 3%. But there are reasons why central banks are independent and absolutely need to be independent. It maintains that price stability, in other words, that focus on inflation. It helps foster economic growth and stability. And that's an important point. Now, the Fed has the dual mandate of employment and interest rates, and it's inflation, rather. It's a difficult line to walk. And as soon as you sort of get a leader coming in, that's when things start to go difficult. You otherwise, ahead of an election, and to be clear, Richard Nixon did this, you juice the economy with lower rates. And it may well win you an election, but it's unlikely to be good for the economy. Now, the risk is inflation spikes, and I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they're saying they think U.S. inflation is going to be heading for the high 4%. And at the same time, if you're cutting rates into that, this is what we saw in the 70s. And we know what happened there in the U.S. I mean, it was record inflation, record interest rates, ultimately, as Volcker came in the late 70s and into the 80s to break that double-digit U.S. inflation. And to be clear, if he hadn't, if Burns had been allowed to continue as head of the Federal Reserve with their laissez-faire around interest rates, dropping them down, ignoring inflation, where would the U.S. be today? I mean, would it be a basket case of stubborn inflation and no growth, which of course is stagflation, one of the scarier words out there? How this plays out under Trump is less trust in U.S. decisions, less trust in the U.S. economy, ultimately less trust in their debt instruments, which is their bonds. It will juice the U.S. economy in the short term, but ultimately interest rates have a purpose, and if they're used for political interference, there is a price, and it will have to be paid. That's it for today. We were chatting with Ken Nyane yesterday, talking around the Blue Label results, the potential or eventual listing of Cell C. I'm hearing so many different timelines as to when that'll happen. But a question we put to you, is it a listing that you are looking forward to? Over half said no, it's just another telco. The rest was split between they're waiting for some numbers and some of you saying, yeah, you can't wait for Cell C to come to market. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Cap results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.